Sometimes the load is heavy, and sometimes the road is long. And sometimes, Lord, this heart of mine is not so very strong. But Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Father, I do not ask You to take this cup from me. I only ask Your guidance o'er paths I cannot see. And Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. I feel You near me, I feel Your guiding power, and know You're standing by me through every passing hour, and Thy will be done, Lord. I will be done.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. In true Lectio Divina style, I will be reading our scripture passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, again. Jesus went with Jairus. Many people followed along and kept crowding around. In the crowd was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She'd gone to many doctors, and they had not done anything except cause her a lot of pain. She had paid them all the money she had, but instead of getting better, she only got worse. The woman had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind Him in the crowd and barely touched His clothes. She said to herself, "If I can just touch His clothes, I will get well." As soon as she touched them, her bleeding stopped, and she knew she was well. At that moment, Jesus felt power come out from Him. He turned to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to Him, "Look at all these people crowding around You, Jesus. How could You ask who touched me?" But Jesus turned around to see the woman who had touched Him. The woman knew what had happened to her. She came shaking with fear and knelt down in front of Jesus, telling him her whole story. Jesus said to the woman, "You are now well because of your faith. May God give you peace. You are healed, and you will no longer be in pain." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. So today is Confirmation Sunday, and it has been a joy and a privilege teaching our confirmation class this month alongside Lindsay and Melanie. These students, Keaton, Nevaeh, and Charlie, have learned what it means to be a Christ follower, what it means to be United Methodist, and have studied topics like the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the difference between prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace, and the Wesleyan quadrilateral. And we are proud to say they had their final exam this morning and they all aced it. Very smart. These three students in front of me have learned to put their faith in action with service projects. They've learned other world religions, most recently Buddhist, and they have participated in spiritual formation exercises as well as reflected on their own lives. We are so proud of your growth, maturity, and hard work. Today, our confirmands are going to stand up in front of this church family and confirm their baptism, as they have all been baptized, declaring that they are ready to receive the vows that their parents made for them, the vows that they made for themselves when they were younger, and be disciples of Jesus Christ. The rite of confirmation is a major milestone in the life of all believers. And so we celebrate them as members, adult members of our family. One of the biggest goals that I have had for our confirmation class and our youth group in general is for our students to fall in love with the scriptures. It's really annoying sometimes because I really press into the Bible studies, really, really want them to see scripture as the living word of God. And I believe our scripture passage this morning has some wonderful wisdom for our confirmands and for all of us on discipleship, faith, and healing. So if we go back into our minds and we remember the words and the story from Mark chapter 5, let us first look at this from the perspective of the disciples. Jesus was gaining popularity at this point in his ministry, and the disciples were busy. Like an entourage following around a celebrity musician or a rock star, they were used to being mobbed by crowds, constantly captivated by Jesus and what he was going to do or say to a particular person. Well, in this story, we actually are in the middle of a larger story. You see, the disciples were trying to get Jesus through this large crowd to make it to a very important man's house. Jairus was a high-ranking official in the synagogue and came to Jesus, begging Jesus to heal his daughter. So the disciples were focused on a mission, and time was of the essence. They needed to get Jesus to Jairus' house to heal his dying daughter. And so all of a sudden, Jesus stops in the middle of this mob and says, "Someone touched me." This, like many things that Jesus did, I'm sure confused the disciples. They had something very important to do. So why was Jesus getting seemingly distracted with a random person? And out of all of these people around them, touching them, if you've ever been in a crowd, I'm sure they're thinking, Jesus, a lot of people are currently touching you, right? But Jesus was teaching them the importance to stop and remember the one, that no one is not important enough to be recognized and loved by God. Jesus, like many times, was teaching the disciples that they can't get so focused on what they believe God wants them to do that they forget what God has placed right in front of them. And so now, if we look at this story from the perspective of the woman, it's very different. Instead of lessons and learning and discipleship, there's a lot of shame and isolation. See, this woman who had been plagued with an illness of 12 years was not only debilitated physically and maybe financially, right? She'd used all of her money on doctors. She wasn't getting any better. But this sickness was ruining her life emotionally, relationally, and even spiritually. You see, any time a woman was bleeding, they would have been unclean. So a woman bleeding for 12 years would have meant she was terminally unclean. Her family would have ostracized her. She would have been completely isolated from any sort of a community at this point in her life. And she wouldn't have been able to worship in the temple because she would have been seen as dirty. So we read in the scripture passage this morning that she has nothing left to try. Her hope is running out, and she hears of this healer, Jesus. And I'm sure she thought, I'm not worth enough to look this man in the eye. I don't want to talk to him. I have too much shame. But maybe if I'm on my hands and knees in this bustling crowd, if I can only touch the hem of his cloak, this healer will be able to save me from my illness. And so Jesus does in fact heal this woman. We read the power does come out of him, but something very scary happens. Because Jesus doesn't just walk right past her like she's hoping. He gets down at her level, looks her in the eye, and wants to speak to her. Think about it. If you'd been shamed from society, if no one ever looked at you, you were clearly invisible to all, and all of a sudden you have this healer not only healing you and restoring you, but bringing you dignity and love for the first time. I can't imagine what that must have felt like to this woman. Jesus is showing us in the story that he loves all of us, not just the high-ranking officials, not just the seemingly important people, but the people that we also often forget to even see. Don't notice them when we're out on the street. And Jesus tells him everything, her whole life story. She's real and raw with Jesus. And to me, I love that because it means our healer and our Savior wants to know the messy parts of us, not just the parts that are seemingly all together. Now, if we look at that word well in the scripture, when Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well, go in peace and be healed, that is a word called sozo in the Greek. Sozo does not just mean well. It does not just mean one form of healing. It truly is a holistic word, meaning to save, to heal, and to deliver. So Jesus was bringing this woman physical healing, but he's also bringing her emotional and spiritual healing too. There's so much more to the picture of praying for healing in our lives that we so often miss. You see, we usually will pray for a particular thing we want. We don't always get our prayers answered, usually, in the way we want. But Jesus is always healing us. He's just holistically healing us. So how do we take this story from the Gospel of Mark and apply it to our lives today, right? We talk about that a lot. How can we encourage these confirmands and all of us to take this story and learn from the nuggets of wisdom that they have? Well, I think the first thing we can receive is the importance of discipleship. As Christ's disciples, we are going to experience divine interruptions. Those times in our life where the Holy Spirit will stick a person, a place, or a situation right in front of us that we were not planning for, that we did not think we were going to be doing. And this often happens, right, when we're out doing service projects. It is so, so often that Lindsay and Melanie and I will be very focused on the task at hand of going down and partnering with After Hours. We have the homeless to feed. We've got to get down there before noon. We're feeding at noon. And the youth will stop us and remind us of the people on the street corners. Maybe they could receive a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Or, hey, Angie, that person looks really sad. Maybe we should, can we go and talk to them? They've got a dog. Can we give some peanut butter to the dog? You see, our students are so good at reminding us to see through the eyes of Jesus and to not get so tunnel visioned, right? I think the older we get, the more we forget about the important things. The second nugget of wisdom, I think, that we can really learn from is faith. And what are we putting our faith in, right? There are so many remedies that we have that we think are going to fix our lives. If our marriage isn't going well, we'll just buy all the self-help books we can, right? Marriage retreat will help. We will fix it with lavish dinners and trips. Maybe if we're physically sick, like the woman in the story, we'll think, well, doctors are going to fix it. The prescription drugs are going to do the trick. But maybe all these things are leaving us worse off than we were before, just like the woman in the story. Maybe we're hurting emotionally. We're trying to fill our hearts with substances like food, alcohol, or material goods. Anyone else an emotional eater? Just me? It's so hard. Man, oh, it's so hard. Everyone's like, you look great, you've lost weight. And it's like, and then I feel sad and I want to eat. It's awful. We all seem, as humans, to create idols, right? Those things in our lives that we put on the throne instead of God. We put our trust in instead of God. We all do it. I do it all the time. And we say, okay, this is the thing that's going to fix us. This is the thing that's going to heal me. This is my remedy. But they always leave us disappointed, right? They do. Maybe they'll help for a little bit. But this morning, I think I'm reminded, and I want us all to be reminded, that God is our healer. It's Jesus who's waiting for us to reach out to him and say, I need that sozo that you are offering me. I need that holistic healing. And we have to ask for it in prayer. Finally, as Pastor Michelle said earlier in the sermon, why are our prayers answered? And why is there this mystery of healing in prayer? Well, I think that when we pray, it's usually a time that we can be honest with God. See, there's a lot of relationship between that authenticity and that kind of realness that the woman is showing with Jesus when she is begging and praying to him in this story, that I don't want us to miss out on. When we are real with Jesus, we feel so much better, right? It's just like if we're sitting down with a friend and we're like, oh, everything's fine, I'm fine. And they're like, you know, supposed to be your best friend and, oh, everything's good. And we're choking back tears. Doesn't help. Helps is when you sit down and you say, I really, really need support right now. Things are not going well, and I'm going to tell you about it because you're a safe person. That is why we receive healing in prayer, because it is our time to come to a place of realness with God. So, my prayer for you, the confirmation class of 2019, is that you three would continue to grow in authenticity, courage, and faith, that your walk as disciples of Jesus Christ would be an adventure every single day, and that you would be open to what the Holy Spirit has for you, not just the plans that you have devised and schemed on your own. My prayer for you is that you would cultivate a deeper relationship with Jesus all the days of your life, that you would continue to fall in love with the scripture, and that you would see the Bible as God's love story to all of us, as a living book illuminating something different, something we need every time we read it. I pray that you would rely and connect with the community of believers around you, because the Confirmation Sunday is also a charge to them to continue to pray for you, check in with you, and love you as members of this church. I pray that you would find people to be honest and real with, that when you mess up, you would know that when you come clean, there is grace, and that you'll feel better afterwards when you're honest with yourself, with God, and with your community. And finally, I pray that you would know the truth of the gospel, that Jesus has greater and better things than you could ever ask for or imagine, and that the best is yet to come. Amen. And now I ask our confirmands to come forward with their families who are here. Pastor Michelle and I will go through the rite of confirmation, and I ask Lindsay Perry and Melanie Ritter to come forward as their youth leaders as well. Yep, anywhere with this.
Wonderful. Yay. Confirmation is a ceremony that confirms what happens in baptism. When parents baptize their child, they choose to raise them in the faith. At confirmation, the youth choose to take responsibility for their faith journey. So, as each of you confirm your choice to follow in the faith and to act in Christ's love, we ask you, will you faithfully support Applewood Valley United Methodist Church with your prayers, meaning you are willing to pray for yourself, your family, this church, your community, and this world? If so, please say we will.
Will you faithfully support this church with your presence, meaning you will be here in worship, youth group, and other activities as you are able to?
Will you faithfully support this congregation with your gifts, meaning you are willing to support this church with your money as you are able? So we will.
It's a big one. Will you faithfully support this church with your service, which you are all so good at, meaning you will serve us and others in the community?
Will you faithfully support this church through your witness, meaning you will share the life, love, and laughter of Jesus Christ to all for your actions and your words?
And finally, will you three, Charlie, Keaton, Avea, grow in faith and in life using the resources of scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, which is, yes, the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. If so, say, we will. They got it. They just mumbled it because they're scared, but it's good. They got it. Okay. Lindsay, Melanie. Okay. So, good.
Charlie, the Holy Spirit is at work within you. I confirm you as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Nevaeh, the Holy Spirit is at work within you. I confirm you as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Keaton.
Keaton, the Holy Spirit is at work within you. I confirm you as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Now, members, family, and friends of Applewood Valley United Methodist Church, I place these persons in your love and care. Do you all utilize all of your prayer and your power and promise to increase their faith, to never give up on hope, and to always choose love? If you receive these wonderful young people, please say amen.
Amen.
Let us congratulate the confirmation class of 2019.
Congratulations.
Yay! Congratulations! Don't forget your card. Lindsay's got it. We'll be outside right after the service, so if you see them, please give them a hug or a handshake. Let them know that you are praying for them, as they are now an adult member of the church family.
As As we come into prayer time now, I invite you to find the insert in your bulletin. On the back of the psalmist's prayer, you'll see this sheet. And I'm going to invite you now to take a moment, grab the pencil in the pew or get something to write with, to write a prayer for you or for someone else for healing. Write what you want. If you do, this will be put on the prayer chain, so if you do not want names used, that's okay. Don't write names. God knows. But like Angie said in her sermon, let's be honest with where we need healing or where we see others need healing. Let's write down our prayer requests now. Now I invite you to sit back, relax, close your eyes when you're ready. Take a nice deep cleansing breath. This is your time with just you and God. So take a moment to quiet yourself right into God's loving hands. God of hope and love, we have been given this life and we are grateful. Thank you for all the ways you have been with us. Thank you for all the years of listening to our prayers, our worries, our joys, and our secret yearnings. We know we are here today because you have gotten us here, and it is no mistake. Continue to listen to us and continue to heal our wounds, to soothe our pains, to get us to the next step on our paths. For we trust you. We trust that you will always lead us to the place where you can reach out and where we can reach out to you and touch the hem of your garment. So we can feel this healing presence that you possess. Because Christ is not far away. He is right here. And we can reach out to him every time, all the time. Be with each of us now and hear all of our prayers. Be with each person confirmed today and let each of us confirm our faith in you. For you are our rock, our confidant, and our deliverer. In Christ's name we pray the sacred prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to receive the offering this morning, I offer a blessing upon our gifts. And may we give thanks for the ministry of our care team here at our church that these gifts help to support. As we collect this morning's offering, I am going to light our compassion candle for all of those affected by the floods and the cyclone. Mm-hmm.